Heart to heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has so much to say to us as people. He cares about us in every way there is. God is coming back, folks. His return is imminent. You know, his return is so imminent. I don't know if he'll be back before this radio broadcast airs. But I thank God that he's, because these are pre-recorded, you know. But God is, he's with us. And he loves us. Now, when he returns, people are going to be caught off guard that we're not looking for. And I want people to know, I ended last week's broadcast on the part that was on the website. These broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Always remember, the broadcasts are longer on the website than they are. We play the first 15 minutes on the radio and but it's 30 minutes long. But I ended it talking about unforgiveness. No man can enter heaven with unforgiveness in his heart. I thought about how that's how important that is. Sometimes people are holding on to things, old hurts that happened years ago. Forgive them. Forgive everybody that did you wrong. Name their name and pray for them. Do it in faith. It's very important. Don't ever go to bed without forgiving people of whatever they did. Because even if you're washed in the blood, even if you're a preacher, even if you've done wonderful things for people, gave millions of dollars to the cause of God, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God will not forgive you of your sin. Now, Jesus gave us a parable about it. Take it very seriously. Study unforgiveness. Study what Jesus said about unforgiveness. Don't go on. Do not go on the newfangled gospel's version of whether you can forgive and go to heaven or not. Because God will not honor any form of deception. He will only honor his word. We're not just obligated to believe the blessings of his word. We also are obligated to believe the danger of his word, the rebuke that Jesus said. Everything Jesus said, consider it true. When the newfangled gospel tell you otherwise, throw that in your trash bin. All right. Everything you believe, the key things about God that you believe, write it on a piece of paper. Then compare it to what Jesus said. If it don't line up with what Jesus said specifically, draw a line through it, because that goes in your trash bin. And don't believe it anymore. This is very important. See, a long time ago, we've been talking about this, how Satan wants to neutralize the church, make it have no power. And see, we take out a lot of people take their children to church, they take them to Sunday school, but when the children when they go to college, there are sad to say, satanic inspired professors that try to get your child to not believe on Jesus. Anything but Jesus. They can be a Muslim. They can be Hindu. They can be a witch. They can be whatever. An atheist. Fine. But they talk about Jesus like a dog. I've been to college right here in Birmingham. In the English class. Everything that we studied was about witchcraft. Something that some crazy atheist wrote. And this was back in, 1987 and 88, when I went there a year. No, I started in 88, I'm sorry. I was going there in 88 and 89. And I heard about it, but I experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. They go in Christians, they come out confused and compromised. The newfangled gospel is fear-based. The words of Jesus is faith-based. And faith works by love, so it's love-based. Faith can only work where there's covenant. You have no agreement with God without covenant. The Word of God is a covenant, a New Testament, a covenant, a contract. It's real. God's going to honor it. No matter what side of it you're on, God's going to honor the covenant. He wants you to go to heaven with Him. He wants you to live forever with Him. But you got to stand on His word. You can't stand on this deception and prosper. Some would ask, where would the deception come from? And I ended last week's top broadcast on the website portion talking about how in the dark ages, unrepentant kings, Rome married the church. And it was a mixture of many cultures. Even our most famous holidays are a blend of some kind of pagan holiday with Christian practices. Now, but that's another story. It just gives credence to the fight. There's a fight. Satan's trying to keep you, dumb you down, so you'll be a soft target. And people, if society believes a certain way, And preachers depend on people to donate to the church. All right, he can put pressure on a preacher or an organization financially. If Satan got enough people that agree with his compromise, then it's going to affect how people give. It's going to affect how people do things. So when men of God buy into the fear, they have to water down the word. Not only through financial pressure, but also society. See, people, especially Christian people, and actually all people do this, they don't realize it, but the enemy, he tempts people to fear as an individual what society believes or considers truth collectively. He tempts you to have fear. To fear what others think. To fear what society thinks collectively. But you can't go off that anymore. And preachers, hear me good. I love you. God loves you. God anointed you. You're made for greatness. You're made to serve Him. You don't need to serve Satan. Whatever you believe, line it up with what Jesus said, my friend. If it don't line up, scratch it out. Don't ever believe it again. Spiritually, put that in your trash file. I've had to do this so many times, so many ways, for so many reasons. I'm not picking on a denomination. I'm picking on every denomination. This is a global problem. Not just in a particular type of church, but in every single church. This same problem keeps popping up. Now, there are people who are strong. Now, I'm still not talking against organizations. I'm talking about all of them. But there are individuals, they'll stick to what Jesus said. They'll stick to the Word of God. And they endeavor to preach rightly divided word. That means the pure word, the intended meaning of the word. And I thank God for all the ministers who go out on a limb and preach the truth. These are the kind of people God's going to rapture. These are the kind of people God can pour His anointing on. God can't anoint deception. He anoints people. See, He anointed, if you pay attention to the word, and I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Jim the Fourth, he pointed out that Saul was anointed with a vial of oil when David was anointed with a horn of oil. A vial is a small amount because King Saul When we first met him, he was very industrious. He took the matter all the way to the prophet. But he was not like David. He folded. See, God can't anoint a man that will compromise. Saul compromised. And you have to, you know, King Saul compromised. God fired him and hired David. You got to study the scriptures yourself, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But David was a worshiper. He looked to God for his strength. So he could handle more anointing. If you compromise, you're hindering what God is doing in your life. If you're compromising, you're telling people that a lie is true. If you compromise, people will die. If you stand, deceived people will leave, or they'll repent. Some people will they'll appreciate the word, and it may take a while. They may leave and come back. But when you preach the truth, now you're involving God. If the builders labor without God, they labor in vain anyway. You can't build God's kingdom, including Satan's kingdom in it. You got to purify. See, we're not just called to get saved. We're called to believe and receive God's word, but we're also called to reject every word of Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in order to live a thriving life, we need to reject everything, every lie that comes from Satan. In every form it comes. I don't care who it is. Now, my father was a Methodist pastor, and he was taught that way. I understand when you're taught a certain way, you can believe a certain way. And there's nothing to challenge, so there's no reason to change. But when I started studying Acts, I saw miracles. And I said, Dad, we need the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. He said, it don't take all. That's how he was trained. I respect him. I'm still standing on his shoulders because he lived the life of God before me. And he taught me things by his life. But he also made me hungry for the word. I'm another generation. And I saw holes in the Methodist doctrine and also the Baptist doctrine and Presbyterian, Lutheran, you know, when they said that, when they said that the miracles and the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues went away when the apostles died, that was wrong. And I love the church. I love God's people. I love every organization. The reason I'm dealing with this is because they took a position, and it's hurting their efforts. This is why. Everybody needs what God has given us. We need now. You judge this. Do we need to, if we're going to fulfill God's word and fulfill the things that Jesus told us to do? Don't you think we need God's help to do it? Our strength is not sufficient. Just like our goodness is not sufficient. If our goodness was not sufficient, if our righteousness was like a filthy rag, why do you think our wisdom is any better, or our knowledge, or our efforts? We need to learn to do things in God's strength. God saw a people that was struggling in sin. And see, to us, it was, you know, when I was a sinner, I could sin and laugh about it. But after I got saved, I didn't want to do that no more. Now see, God saw out my heart, how, and others too. We wanted to do right, but we couldn't. And now he made a way for us to do right. Now we need to learn and judge everything. This is an old fight. You know, if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, 2 Peter and Jude, it shows you these things. Paul said that the time will come they will not hear. They will not receive. He said they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because people are embracing corruption. And they can't get out of it. See, they're trapped. When people in the dark, they're trapped. Now, I said that about the denominational church, but Pentecostal churches did stuff too that wasn't right. This is what if they focused on what Paul's taught in chapter 14? If they coveted prophesying, in other words, to be using the spiritual gifts that God gave to be a blessing, they used it for competition. They were mishandling the spiritual gifts that God gave them. They were praying in tongues in competition, trying to out-sing each other, trying to out-pray each other, and prophesy each other, trying to out-prophesy each other. And Paul had to set order in the church. And it still goes on to this day. How many people say, well, I was about to do this and the Lord told me not to? This is something I've heard more than that. After the tragedy, then they'll say, something told me not to do that. They don't pay attention to it. That tells me they were not paying attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tried to warn them and get involved in the situation, but they didn't involve him. They didn't involve God in that situation. They did it that way. They built churches that way. They try to advance churches in out of their own mind. And they don't get rid of the compromise, and it cannot grow. And it's never going to grow. Not until they put God first. For 30 years, the Lord's been teaching me, well, since 1990, 31 years, the Lord's been teaching me to teach people to follow him. So, he said, that's the biggest problem in the church, is people don't follow him. They follow him something else. Compromise will get you dead. Compromise, Satan always wins the compromise. That's where he has victory. Compromise is just a dressed up lie. Satanic sorcery, that's all it is. Satanic sorcery is a lie. That's all he got. But he's good at lying because he's smart. He's a crooked genius. A crooked serpent. He thinks faster and more efficiently than people do. In fact, God had to limit him. He said, you can't fight them beyond their ability. You know, people twist that scripture around. They say, God won't put more on you than you can bear. No. That scripture is teaching us that Satan has to fight us on our level. He can't fight us on here. We'll be outclassed. Wit to wit, we'll be outclassed. But when we follow the word of Jesus, he's outclassed. Because Jesus is God. If we follow the words of Jesus, we're safe. There's no accusations that he can hold against us. And we have the victory that Jesus gave us through grace. Our victory is a grace. God gave it to us. Our authority is a grace to us. We didn't earn it. God gave it to us. We need to use it. People don't always understand authority. Good people. My parents didn't understand it. I know they didn't. I don't know. They did a lot of things because they just loved God. They didn't know how to use authority like that and take authority over Satan. I heard my mother ask another pastor, what did it mean? What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He didn't know. The answer he replied wasn't, he just quoted the scripture. He didn't know. I told him, that's because Jesus gave us authority. But she asked the pastor. She didn't ask me. I didn't get offended. It's all right, you know. But it showed me that they really didn't know. But they still lived a remarkable life. Some things you're not going to attain to in this life unless you knock, seek, and ask and unless you're relentless about it. Otherwise, you'll go your whole life the way you are. Now, that don't mean you're not saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are some aspects of life and salvation you may not learn unless you knock, seek, and ask and be relentless about it until God show you. And once you do, write that down on that piece of paper you got. The things that you believe, write it down. And everything, and whatever you believe is not true, scratch that out. When you measure it by what Jesus said. And then go look at how it worked when people practiced it. The things that Jesus taught the disciples, they were practicing those things in Acts, and they had the same results that Jesus had. They didn't have to compromise with the religious organization. And I'm gonna tell you something. Don't be afraid to get kicked out of religious organizations. They need you more than you need them. Because if you stand with God, you're the majority. God got you. And you're gonna find out that you really don't need that organization like you thought you did. See, an organization makes you comfortable. The organization, if the pastor, when he get out of college, he's ready to pastor a church. He ready to go to work. They got his house together right there on the property. He can pastor a church, live in the house for free, and they give him a stipend, and he don't really have to use his faith much. But when you finish Bible college and there's no backing, you got to do the whole thing by faith and the order of God. People consider that to be negative, but it's not. You're going to learn God, which you're going to need to know, and you're going to be able to say things to people and counsel people that come out of the real world. Your faith muscles will be strong. God will give you a format and you'll do it and it'll work. You may have to work in the beginning, just like everybody else. You may have to start a bit. I don't know what you'll have to do. But if God builds a house, it's going to stand. Don't be afraid of being ousted by anybody, because God has a format that will work. And he'll show you what to do. You don't need compromise. If you got a compromise for anything, don't receive it. Receive the word of God and reject the words of Satan. Don't compromise. You don't have to. That's an evil limitation that you don't have to deal with. But you have to live by the word of God. And the word of God does everything that it says. I have experienced all forms of miracles in my life. I've been healed. Weather problems, I rebuked storms and it stopped. It amazed me. Jesus did it, I did it. When the Lord told Mr. Austin, I grew up with Mr. Austin's children. He was a principal. But he got a hold to the word. And a storm was coming toward Washington. And the Lord said, you have the faith to stop that storm. And he rebuked it and it didn't hit land. And then I said, well, it's not stupid to do that. See, culture would have said, that's stupid to even try something like that. But when somebody I respected did it, and he told me about it, I did it, and it worked. I've seen tornadoes coming and rebuked it, and it's jumped over my house and went somewhere else. And I didn't know where it went, because I was tracking it till it knocked my cable out. I heard it go over my ear. It jumped over our neighborhood and hit another one. I didn't want it to hit the one it did hit. But I rebuked it. The Lord told me to rebuke it. And I rebuked it and it jumped over our neighborhood. I didn't even know it was so close, because it knocked the cable off before it got here. But the Lord told me what to do. We have authority here. But you cannot live a compromised life. Gunfights. I don't know how many times I told Satan he couldn't kill anybody. Every time I did that, nobody.